Now we're going to the very beginning of the Bible. It's not too hard to find the book of Genesis, chapter 2 into chapter 3. And already you're thinking of the garden, you're thinking of Adam, you're thinking of Eve. Already we're thinking of the powers of darkness in the person of Satan, who comes to destroy. We're thinking of God's creation that was absolutely beautiful, perfect in all of its ways. And God brings us to this passage of the word today that we might learn from him. So we're going to read Genesis chapter 3 with reference to two verses, probably in Genesis chapter 2. But Genesis chapter 3 in the first verse, beginning at the verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And we're going to end at that verse, verse 6. Just turning back into chapter 2 for a moment. Verse 16 and 17. This is the warning, the counsel that God had given to Adam. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In our margins it says, In dying thou shalt die. So these are the words which we probably know quite well. And may the Lord help us just to grasp some fresh truth perhaps, some old truth that you know well enough. And may God help us as we listen to the voice of God. You probably don't know. I didn't know, so I'm jumping to assumptions. You probably have never heard of an experiment that was called the Stanford Prison Experiment. It took place in America all the way back in 1971, so probably most of us are totally unaware of it. There was a particular doctor, a philosopher, a man who had grown up in part of New York, and he had grown up in a rough area. And he had in his mind already, before he came to this experiment, a sort of an idea that he wanted to prove. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole of the experiment because it's not worthy of our spending a lot of time on. But the important thing about the experiment, I suppose, was for us, it started from a bad standpoint. It started from the wrong starting point. He had already got something he wanted to prove. And because he already had something in his mind he wanted to prove, he was bound, in a sense, to find the evidence to prove his point. And that, according to scientists and people who are involved in experiments, it says something that really should never be done. It means that you should really come to an experiment with an open mind, wanting to see whatever the results provide. This man already had in his mind what he wanted to prove. The thing that he had in his mind was, in a sense, that good people will become evil if you put them in a bad environment. Good people will become evil if you put them in a bad environment. Now, we would say today that that's probably what we call humanistic. It's a sort of a humanistic approach, mainly because it's denied God immediately. And it's also denied the truth of the scripture. And it's just looking at man as man and his home, or the place where he lives, or the town, or the village, or the city. It just looks at his environment. So it comes from the starting point that if somebody's grown up in really good place, in a good environment, he'll be good. If somebody's born into a bad place, a bad environment, he'll be bad. Now, we know that that's not true. But this is the thinking that was in this man. His name was Zimbardo. He wrote a book. I've never read the book, but I've seen the title of the book. It's called The Lucifer Effect. How good men become bad, or how good men turn evil. That's something that's foreign already to the Word of God that we've just read. Because we've already read that Adam and Eve were in a beautiful environment. And yet, something happened in this environment, and these two and the future race, it became bad. Mr. Zimbardo's idea also denies a fundamental truth of the Word of God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, you've studied it by the sound of it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read in the book of Romans, quite clearly, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none good. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We already know those things from the Word of God. So the Word of God actually brings us to a different position, a different starting point to what this man Zimbardo was at. This man Zimbardo takes it for granted that everybody's good and they're conditioned by their environment. God's Word tells us that everybody's bad and they condition the environment. It's men that make their environment. You can take all sorts of people today and if they were of a certain nature, you could put them in any sort of environment and they will make that environment the way they want it to be. So if we've got a people who are wanting criminal life, they'll turn their society into a criminal environment. If you've got a group of people who want a good life, a profitable life, or a different type of life, an upright moral life, they'll eventually turn their community into an upright moral place. The community, the environment, becomes what God, what they want it to be. They deny, in effect, what God has already said, that all have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. That's our starting point today. That's where we are when we come into God's house, when we come into any situation, when we're faced with the Word of God and with a group of people who have not yet been born of the Spirit of God. There is none good, there is none righteous, there is none that seeketh after God, no, not one. That's what God has said about us. So that's where we come. We want to, in a sense, take Mr. Zimbardo's book title, The Lucifer Effect, How Good People Turn Evil, and look at God's book title, which is really Christ's effect, How Evil People Turn Good. That is the reality of our position. That God wants to turn bad people good. So the Word of God's in front of us. And that's where we come. Here's Eve. Let's look at Eve for a few moments. Four things about Eve which we can pick up quickly, briefly, and we already know. The first thing is Eve had already learned about the possibility of evil. We've got that clearly in the Word of God. In the passage that we read in verse 3, God hath said. That's all we need to learn about Eve. That's all we need to learn about what Eve knew, in a sense, about the possibility of evil. In verse 16, 17 of chapter 2 of what we've read, God had said, there is a tree in the midst of the garden. If you eat the tree, in dying you will die. That's it. And Eve has learnt from that, God hath said. Friends, you could turn to the whole of the Word. And it doesn't matter where you are today, you can learn this much. God hath said. The Word of God is spoken. The Word of God is written. And whatever happens in life today, when we step outside of these doors, we come to any circumstance of life and we can say, God hath said. God has spoken into our situation, and God has spoken according to our living and according to our life. God has said, you ask any question about any situation, and you can turn back to the word and you can say, but God has said. Jesus has spoken. God has caused it to be written. We're not left in any doubt here. And that's the way that we have been brought up and the way that we have been taught. God has said. So Eve had learned. Second thing that Eve did, she listened. You read also in the Word of God, in this passage, the serpent said, verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. We're going to probably talk about this a little bit more tonight. But let us learn one basic fact from the Word of God, if we don't know it already yet. There is a prince of the power of the air. There is an evil force, an evil person. There is an evil reign. There is an evil dignity. Satan and all of the fallen angels. The rulers and the principalities of the air. The rulers of darkness. There is one who is called here in the passage that we have read, the serpent. And friends, he speaks. He speaks. And he distorts. And he challenges God's very authority over mankind. And you and I are faced with the reality of the Word of God, which we'll look at probably over and over again through this day. That we are either under the dominion of one or the dominion of the other. We are either under the dominion and power of the living God by the grace of God through the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And we have submitted to him willingly, born of the Spirit. We are children of the King. Or, contrary, we are under the dominion of Satan, the serpent. The wicked one, the evil. We are under the dominion of the power of wickedness. And we are in either camp. If we're not yet born of God, if we're not yet saved by grace, if we have not yet repented, believed and received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are surely under the dominion of the power of darkness. That is the reality that we're faced with. That is the reality of the Word of God. It's either Lucifer or Christ. Either Lucifer has his effect upon your life, the effect in your life, or Christ has the effect upon your life. Christ has the effect in your life. Either Lucifer uses you for evil, or Christ uses you for good. Either your life is unrighteous under the power and dominion of Satan, or your life is righteous and good under the power and dominion of Christ. That's where we are in the Word of God. Eve listened. She had learnt about evil. God had warned. She listened. And she listened to the voice of Satan. And we'll be doing one of those two things today. Listening to Christ or listening to Satan. The Word of God says that Eve looked. She looked upon prohibited evil. She looked upon prohibited evil. That is what we have in the Word of God. In verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she looked upon prohibited evil. And every day we move through life, and every day we see prohibited evil all around about us. Prohibited by the Word of God. Prohibited by truth. A man and woman we look upon. This woman was taken, in effect, into the heart of the garden, guided by Satan, we may say. And she looked upon prohibited evil. You may say today, there's no harm in looking. Friends, there is every harm in looking. There is every harm in looking. So many people think today that they can get close to sin. I've told the story so many times, you know, at home. I only just share it with you so that you're not left out. But in reality, When I was in the police and we were doing fast car driving and being trained in it, they taught us over and over again that we should always keep the maximum amount of safety distance away from any seen hazard. You see a hazard, the amount of boys riding bicycles on a Sunday morning is almost dangerous. You know, three of them abreast, coming along the road, forcing you to overtake on the brow of a hill. Not good. Friends, you've got to keep the maximum amount of distance between the evils or the hazards that you see. And the amount of people who say there's no harm in looking until they get snagged, until they get caught, until they go beyond look. The only safe way is to turn the eye and look the other way. The only safe way is to shut the eyes so you cannot see. Eve, she looked. And it was the beginning of the fall for her, in a sense, when she took that look. Eve, she did one other thing. She lusts. And she partakes. Verse 6 again, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, she did eat, she gave also, and her husband with her, and he did eat. And we know she lusted for this fruit. She wanted this fruit. And the look, and all that had been said, and now she has so totally turned away from all that God has given her to understand. And she takes of the fruit and she begins to eat. Not only is she satisfied with her own partaking, she's then got to share it with others and bring everybody else down with her. She looks. But then, seeing she lusts, there's something deeper. We'll get to it in a minute. But she lusts. She takes. She partakes. She shares. And the whole of all of us have been affected from that moment in time. And so God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none good, no, not one. So where are we today? Are you born of the Spirit of God today? Have you been delivered from the bondage of Satan? Have you been delivered from the bondage and the love of evil? Have you been delivered to seek after God and walk God's way with all of your heart and no fellowship with Him? Friends, it's one or the other. Let me take you back. What can we say? What can we say about Eve at this moment in time? Firstly, she wasn't ignorant of the Word of God. Secondly, she ignored the Word of God. Thirdly, she invented an addition to the Word of God and twisted it to her own desires. And fourthly, she indulged in her desire. She experimented with sin. Friends, there is a great experiment with sin that comes into the heart and life of every single person. Is this really what God means? Did God really say this? And men and women have experimented with drugs. And men and women have experimented with immorality. And men and women have experimented with all of the dark things of the internet. And men and women have experimented with cigarettes. And men and women have experimented with the discos and all of the nightclubs and all of that scene. And over and over and over and over again, men and women have experimented with sin. They experimented with evil. They said, surely to look is not to sin. And then after they said, surely to look is not to sin, they then touched and they partook. And then, knowing exactly what they had done, they went on to take other people down with them. That's where we are. Where are you? Where are you today? Are we ignorant? Ignorant of God's word? Not in Ulster. You remember those Ten Commandments? Well, perhaps some of us could forget the first two or three of them. Perhaps we have no other God and bow down to no other idol. We haven't made any statues. We haven't bowed down to anything that seems to be gold or silver. Didn't take us long as children to dishonor our parents. But yet we're not ignorant of the fact that we should honor our father and our mother, are we, children? We're not ignorant of the fact that we should do as we're told and we should obey and be obedient. But yet, do we ignore the word? We're not ignorant of the fact that God said in his word, thou shalt not kill. Do we choose to ignore what Jesus said when he said, do not hate or speak evil of any man? Do we choose to call people names? Do we choose to call people and insult them by calling them fools? Because Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and scribes. And yet we say we have killed no man, but yet we have brought names against some soul. We're not ignorant, surely, of the word of God that says thou shalt not commit adultery. Are we ignorant of the truth? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said, thou shalt not look upon a woman to lust after her. Surely looking is not sin. But yet Jesus said, when you lust after this person, this man or this woman, already you've committed adultery in your heart. It's sin. Are we ignorant of the truth, or do we choose to ignore it? We're not ignorant of the fact today that God said, thou shalt not steal. And surely we know full well today that any man or woman, any boy or girl, any person who goes out into the shops runs the risk of being locked up, taken to court, summoned, whatever, if they put their hand to that which belongs not to them. We're not ignorant of the truth, but do we choose to ignore it? Do we choose, when the man asks for his VAT return, to declare it all? Do we choose to ignore the command of God when he speaks to us about all of those things of tax and accounting and of making full known what we have received and what we have not received and accurately giving it back to the government? You see, this woman, she was not ignorant of the command nor the counsel of God. She chose to ignore it. Today, we are not ignorant of the command of God, nor the counsel of God. The counsel of God to this woman was, the counsel of God to this man was, in eating, in dying, you will die. Men and women choose today to say, it won't happen to me. Men and women choose today to live a life contrary to the will and the purpose, the counsel and the command of God, and live blatantly against him, saying it'll never happen to them. Where are we today? In truth, where are we today? We live in a society of corruption. Do we allow, as a church, this society to taint our ways? Do we allow this society to govern us, to direct us, to show us their ways that we might live according to them? Or do we listen to the voice of God and say, but God's way says something different. I live according to the way of God. Remember, the end depends on the present. What happens to you at the end of days is all dependent upon what you do today. The way you live today, what you do with Christ today, whose voice you listen to today. It's either Christ or Satan and no other. You know, we read in the word of God in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. God hath shown thee, O man, What is good? And what doth God require of thee? What doth God love require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That is what God requires of you and me today. It tells me something from this word, that you and I have responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as church, to teach what God requires. How did this woman know? How did Adam know what God required? He taught them. How do our children know? How do our children ever learn? Except the church teach them. Except parents teach them. So that they likewise are not ignorant of the word of God. Whereabouts are we today? Whereabouts are we? There's a denial of God. There's a denial by Satan of God. Did God say? Jesus calls this wicked one the prince of this world 3 times in John's gospel. He calls him the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. And he is the one today who denies the word of God. So what do we say next? Well, we can say, and we can ask the question, do we indulge in sin? What about this person called Eve? Let me give you something which is a good counsel for every single man or woman here today. 3 times I find this in the Word of God. 3 times. 3 times it tells me about the way Satan works. The way Satan seeks to get your soul. The way that Satan seeks to destroy. He used it against the Lord Jesus. We read of it in John 1 John chapter 2. We also read of it here in this passage of the Word of God. 3 things. Eve saw the fruit was good for food. Eve desired it with her eyes. She desired it because she was told it would make her wise. When Jesus is in the temptation wilderness, Satan comes to him and says, you're hungry. You need bread to make you satisfied. If you're really the Son of God, well then, throw yourself down and prove it. The pride of your position. Or he says, thirdly, here are all the kingdoms of the world. Do you see them? Look upon them. From the high mountaintop, do you look upon them? Do you see them? I'll give you them all. I'll give you them all. Just fall down and worship me. John says in 1 John chapter 2. He talks about the lust of the eyes. He talks about the lust of the flesh. And he talks about the pride of life. And he says, these things are not of God. These things are not of God. Satan comes to Jesus Christ with the same temptation, not exactly just formed in exactly the same word, but in the same principle. As he came to Eve, and as John warns you and me today. So here's good counsel for you. It's good counsel for me. What does God say? He says simply this. That the tempter will come and firstly, he will get you to feel sorry for your body and pamper it. That's not of God. Do you need food? Do you need clothing? Do you need shelter? God knows that you have need of these things before you even ask. But Satan says, you ought to look after yourself better. Satan pampers the body. Men and women, today we live in an age where the body is being pampered. Pampered. You satisfy your flesh. Drink, just one will make you feel good. Smokes, just one, it'll settle your nerves. Drugs, just one, it'll give you a good. Immorality? Just one. Satan has always used the same trick. He'll use it against you if he can. He'll try to drag you down. Not only pamper the body, but he wants you to be proud of yourself. He wants you to be proud of yourself. Go for it. You could be the top dog around here. You could be the man in charge. You could be the woman who looks after everything. You can be the person that everybody claps and applauds, and you can be the person that everybody wants to be in their crowd. You can be the person, and you're meant to be the person, really. It's only a immoral God who wants to keep you down and keep you humble and keep you lowly. You look after your pride of position. Get yourself a good spot and you'll be well nestled for the rest of your life. It's of Satan. It's not of God. God doesn't go that way. God doesn't deal in that sort of thing. Prosperity then. Become the richest, become the wealthiest, become the most intelligent. Have the whole world at your feet. And you can get it today. You can have it when you've done the university program. Nothing wrong with universities, but it's the heart that goes there. Fill your house with the best and get the biggest house in the process. That's not the way God works. But it's the way Satan has trapped people. It's there in the Word of God. With Jesus, with Eve, with 1 John chapter 2. Friends, it's not an evil environment that turns good people bad. It is the very nature of badness we're born with that makes our environment. Lucifer, according to Mr. Zimbardo, has an effect, if he believed in Lucifer in the first place, has an effect, so he says. I say Lucifer had an effect, but Christ has a better, more dominant, more overpowering effect. That an evil man, a bad woman, can be turned good by the power of Jesus Christ and the cross. That man can be saved by God's grace when we repent of our sin. That we experiment with sin, we'll get the just deserts of sin. You experiment with evil, you'll get the results of evil. Not only your own life will be destroyed, but you could bring down the rest of your family in the process. But experiment with Jesus Christ, I say that reverently. Give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledging, owning up, saying where you are and what you've done, and how you've grieved Him and how you're aggrieved to Him. And when you turn and repent and call, do you know how faithful God is? One person said, when he saved a wretch like me. Leonard Ravenhill, some of you know the name, some of you might not know the name. He said this, it's a very simple little thing. He called this the biggest miracle that God ever did. Now, I don't know. That might set people's minds thinking. Leonard Ravenhill, if you ever heard him preach or perhaps read any of his books, you would know that this man was very, very good with words. But nevertheless, he was a man of God. He said the greatest miracle, have you worked it out yet? Was it the healing of the eyes? Was it the healing of the deaf? Was it the raising of the dead? Leonard Ravenhill said the greatest miracle that God ever did was taking an unholy man out of an unholy world, changing him, and then putting a holy man back into an unholy world, but keeping him holy. That was the greatest miracle. And God can do that for you or me or any one of us. any man or woman in new buildings or the surrounding area. He takes us out of an unholy world as unholy people. And by the grace of God, he makes us new, a new creature in Christ Jesus. He then puts us to do his work in his place, in this unholy world. But he's able to keep us from falling. He saves us to the uttermost. And he's able to keep us from falling. Tell me, where are you? Well, you know that that was the question that came. That was what God said when Adam and Eve were hiding from him and his presence. Where art thou? Where art thou? Tell me. Tell God, more importantly, where are you today? Under the influence of Satan? Or under the influence of Jesus Christ? Has Lucifer got an effect on your life today? Or does Christ have the effect upon your life today? Do you eat the fruit of sin and evil? Or have you tasted Christ and found him to be good? What fruit do you bring from your life? Friends, we're left with the question. And the Lord Jesus waits for the answer. God can save you today, this morning, if he spares you tonight. One thing I know is that God delivered me from the power of Satan, and I never want to go back there. 1976, I came to Northern Ireland for the first time. Ended up down in Ebrington Barracks after a week of being in the province for a fortnight. A few years later, God took my life and he changed it. But I don't want to go back to the days of 76. I don't want to go back to the days of 77. I want to stay in the day where God has saved me by God's grace and keeps me by his power. Friends, where are you today? Where are you today? May God help us to be right with him. Don't be like Eve. She was not ignorant of the word of God, but she ignored it. May the Lord help you.